those who are disaffected and being aware of those who are disaffected, and this I would call the spiritual edition of that. Those who are disaffected, what does that mean? What it means is that they are dissatisfied with those in authority. And they will not support them any longer. So we're dissatisfied with those that are in authority, and we will not support them. And so obviously if we're going to have a conversation like this, we could talk about local government, state government, we could talk about federal government, we could talk about world government, we could talk about your employer, we could talk about a number of things. But what we're specifically going to talk about this morning is the spiritual aspect of that. Those who are dissatisfied with spiritual authority and are no longer willing to support it. If you look up a general definition of this, these folks are disgruntled. They are discontented. Might even be malcontent. They're certainly alienated. They're standing back from the whole thing, separated, alienating self. And possibly rebellious against that authority. And in the Bible, throughout the Bible, there is a recurring pattern that happens when it comes to those who are disaffected. And let me put it here on the board. First, there is a leader. There is an authority. Someone who's taken that role. Might be God. Might be a God-appointed one. But it is a leader. And then we have someone or a group of someone that are disaffected. And these disaffected ones arise from a group and influence a group, and that is people. Either individuals or possibly as a group. And the basic formula is this. That the disaffected ones are disaffected with this leader. And therefore, because they're disaffected with this leader, they don't approve, they're dissatisfied, they don't want to be under that authority any longer, they're disgruntled, alienated, rebellious against. The disaffected ones then attempt to influence these folks down here. So you see how this is working? We have a leader, we have some who are disaffected, and we have the people. Those that are disaffected are disaffected with this leader, and because of that, they will attempt to influence the people, the group, individuals, or as a whole. And so here in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, what if we can kind of see how this plays out? How does this play out? All right. Who's the leader according to Genesis chapter 2, 16 and 17? Well, that would obviously be God. He's the one in authority over them. Who would be the disaffected one? Well, we see that in Genesis chapter 3. How does that play out? The serpent. The serpent is this embodiment of the one who is disaffected with the leader, with God. And being disaffected, not wanting to be under that authority themselves, the serpent then attempts to influence what group of people? Well, it's Adam and Eve. And so this very first incident that is recorded of this formula playing out, the standard is really set for all the rest. Every other time that we see this, the standard has already been set. And frankly, and ultimately, whatever the God-appointed leader is that is being imposed, the end goal is to separate and draw someone away from God. In 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, 1 Samuel 8 and verse 7, been on the receiving end of this rejection. He is God's appointed leader to the people. He has served as a judge. And the people are no longer satisfied with that. And so there's a group of disaffected ones who rose up against him as a God-appointed leader. And they have worked with and influenced each other, and they've come together as a group that then demands that he puts a king into place over them. Sing for me. This doesn't set well with Samuel. And in verse 7, and it's not that he's wanting to hold on to control. It's not that he's, oh, I like this position and this is really irritating to me. And it's he's offended, but he's offended for the right reason. Notice verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. When God has set an order, and disaffected ones rebel against that, or disgruntled against that, they'll attempt to influence, maybe to elevate themselves, by the way, but certainly to draw the people away from that God-appointed leader. Let's look at another example, and you'll need to mark your Bible here, because we'll be coming back several times to this. And it's in Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. The events that have led up to this, there was someone that had been out and they'd been gathering on the Sabbath day, breaking the Sabbath day. We know that was forever a no-no. They were to keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. It was supposed to be a day of rest. They caught someone in verse 32 that had been doing that, and they found them gathering wood, so they bring them to Moses and Aaron. Clearly they're working on the Sabbath to see what ought to be done. In verse 35, and the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. That's how serious of a violation it was. They were not keeping it holy, which means they were not treating God as holy, because God is the one who told them to keep the day in that way. And so in verse 36, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corner of their garments throughout their generations. And they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them, and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes. Like the guy that went and gathered wood on God's day. They didn't keep it as holy, they didn't treat God as holy. So you won't follow your own heart. You won't follow your eyes. Oh boy, we don't have much wood. Today's a good day to go get wood. No, it's not. It's the Lord's day. Don't follow your own heart. Don't follow your own eyes. But we'll freeze to death. Probably not. Won't be able to cook anything. You'll survive a day. After which you play the harp. So that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. All right. So far, who have we seen here is God's appointed leader? Well, it's Moses. That is over there in verse 33. They brought him to Moses. And then God spoke to Moses. Who is the appointed leader? In this case, it was Moses. Let's now meet the disaffected ones. Chapter 16. Now Korah and the sons of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took action. This guy gets stoned to death because he broke the law. Moses gets up and puts out an edict. We're all going to wear these tassels, a cord of blue. And I want you to look at these. And I want you to remember the command of the Lord. And I want you to do it. I want you to follow. And not your own heart. Don't follow your heart. Somebody's song. Somebody did this. Somebody that. Follow your heart. No. Follow the commands of the Lord.
And don't follow your own eyes, because you end up playing the harlot that way. We're not faithful to God that way. Remember the commandments. Okay. They're not happy with all that. They're disaffected. And they're pointing it towards Moses, but ultimately it points back towards God. And they rose up before Moses, together with sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, chosen in the assembly, men of renown. They assembled again together against Moses and Aaron, and said to them, "You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" And Moses heard this and fell on his face. He spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, "Tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy. I will bring him near to himself, even the one whom he will choose. He will bring near to himself." Look at this. So we have the leaders here. We put Aaron in the same category there. We have Moses and Aaron in there. The disaffected ones, according to verse 16, are Korah, Dathan, Abiram, the disaffected ones. They don't like the leadership of Moses and Aaron. They're not satisfied with it. They no longer support it. They say, "You've gone too far. You say we need to be holy. We're all holy, everyone." And so let's watch how they point this back. Oh, and so who is the audience? Well, again, it's the people, the Israelites, the nation of Israel. That's who's being targeted. Let me put this right here. Targeted by that. It's an important concept. And so the disaffected, the dissatisfied, the accusation part against them was what? You, as leaders, you exalt yourself above this assembly. That is their disaffectedness. Their disappointment, their dissatisfaction, their accusation, their discontent, their alienation. That's why they're rebelling. What is their message to the people? You're all holy. Every last one of you. 100% holy, 100% of the time, 100% of it. What do you think the odds of that are, by the way? Not good. We know the one fellow wasn't holy because he's not gathering wood on the person he's alive in. So maybe he only had one. No. Not how it works. As a matter of fact, by this rebellion against God's appointed leader, showing that they're not holy. But there's their message. And you suppose if that message showed up at your doorstep, you would kind of enjoy a message like that. You're 100% holy 100% of the time. And this whole looking at hassles things and having to remember that maybe you're not holy, who's got time for that? Who needs to do that? You live your life. God wants you to be happy. That might make you unhappy if you have to remember that sometimes you're not 100% holy. If you come follow us, you'll all be holy. That sounds like a nice ear-tickling message. Moses, Aaron, they keep telling you're not holy. Moses and Aaron, they keep holding the line on God's commands. Like over here, they said that man should be stoned to death. Moses and Aaron, they keep putting us in mind of God's command and this whole hassle business. And you know what? I don't look good in that. Don't look good. This part right here, this targeting, is what I want to talk to you about today. That's the focus of this lesson. Can leaders be bad? Oh, absolutely. And back there, what we're talking about in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and when they came up and said, "Samuel, you're getting older, and your boys, they don't walk in your way." They weren't wrong about that.
He was getting up in age, and his boys certainly did not uphold God's law the way that they should. That's not what we're talking about. You find leaders like that, great, send them back. By the way, when you get to verses 19 and 20, that same chapter, though, you find out that was just a convenient excuse to get what to what they actually wanted, which is the king, so they could be like everybody else. And that guy would go and fight all their battles for them. So it's just actually a convenient excuse. But again, that's not our discussion. The reasons that the disaffected are disaffected are as many as there are disaffected people. And so that is not our discussion. But if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you're going to see just a little glimpse of what makes some people disaffected with leadership. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, for men will be lovers of self. Lovers of money. Boastful. Arrogant. Revilers. Well, that covers a whole bunch of why people get disaffected with leadership. Probably covers some of the courts and the others. It already covers them as well. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Disobedient parents. Ungrateful. Oh, what Moses has gone through, and they accused him of elevating himself above the people. Really? The guy that tried multiple ways of getting out of even having the position, and he's elevating himself? Not sure about that one. Unholy. That's it. Unloving, irreconciled, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. They're all holy. Don't change a thing. Now, that's holding to a form of godliness. Holding to a form of godliness, although they deny this power, avoid such men as these. If what they're angling for is, I'll be in charge, don't put them in charge. That's bad news. If things are bad, they're going to get worse. But again, that's not our discussion today. What is our concern is what happens when these disaffected ones show up at your door to recruit you in an attempt to influence you to also be disaffected with the leadership. When you get the phone call or the text message or you see the stuff on the social media and you are the target for recruitment, what do we do? Well, in Numbers chapter 16, verse 2, Numbers 16, 2, it says, they rose up before Moses, now listen, together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation. In the targeting process, the disaffected ones are pretty good at who they want to target. They've got an awful good job of who they want on their side. And here they go after these leaders of the congregation, chosen ones of the assembly, men of renown. That's who they want to stir them up to go up against Moses and Aaron in an attempt to sell it for them to. They're just full of pride. They're just arrogant. They like lording it over everyone, making them walk here and walk there and be holy and all that kind of stuff. Holding the line on this. Who needs that? You're all 100% holy already. Do you like our message? If you don't, we can change it. But there's their message. They got stuff. From what you know of Moses, does it even fit? Is that the kind of God he wants? What kind of leader he wants? He is doing this at tremendous cost to self. This leadership role will literally cost him his life. All of what he has stirred up these people to have, he'll never get. Not the physical sense.
effective message here. They sold this story of Moses being arrogant, a dictator, and puffed up. They sold this story of his 100% holiness. And I'm sure there's some who like it. Yeah, that's right. We're going to get rid of him, and we're going to get someone that's a little easier on us. Notice again, chosen. Men of renown. If you are the target, if you have become the target of the disaffected, know this, you have been targeted for a reason. The first reason appears right here. Maybe they think that you're a person of position or connection that can help them. That is, you are powerful enough to help. There could be another reason. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, so we just read that whole list of the kinds of things that make for a disaffected person, loving the money, loving the self, and all that. In verses 6 and 7 it says, "For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Oh, yikes. I like the idea of being a powerful person that can help, but you're saying maybe I don't know the scripture very well, and so therefore I got targeted. That I'm just kind of strength in numbers. I'm just part of the numbers. Maybe. A couple of possible reasons why you got targeted. Maybe indeed they view you as being weak. Those who want to round up folks say, "We shouldn't go in. There are giants in there. We're grasshoppers." They're going after who? Those who didn't particularly have strong faith. Those who weren't particularly knowledgeable. Those who are already weighed down with sin, led on by various impulses like fear. So just let that sink in for a second. That there are reasons why you are being targeted this way. But I want you to note on the same subject in verses 8 and 9, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. I wasn't sure for a minute if we're talking about the same thing. Maybe we're conflating two issues. We're not. We're not conflating two issues here. They're one and the same. Verse 8, 2 Timothy 3, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind rejected a regard to the faith, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. We go back to Numbers chapter 16 for a minute. There's something very striking back there that we haven't talked about yet. Well, I told you to put your marker there. We'll keep coming back. And then Numbers chapter 16, verses 12 through 14. The day arrives when Moses says, "Hey, God will choose. God will choose. And whoever chooses, that's fine. God will choose." So the day arrives. Next day. Then Moses sent a summons to Dathan and Abram. Why? Because they didn't show up. They're so gutsy and bold and so believe in their cause, this disaffected cause. He's a tyrant that just wants to lord it over the congregation. You're all holy to begin with, and no changes need to be made. They're so committed to that cause, they ramped up 250 people, and then they stayed home. You go fight their fight for us. We'll keep hiding back here in the shadows. Well, when you back those three back up, you get the spirit through. They didn't show up. So, a summons is sent to them. And they said, "We will not come up. Nothing says, my cause is righteous, come follow me," like refusing to talk to the leadership about what you think. Nothing said. Clearly you must be the righteous one when you won't talk to those that you have a problem with, about the problem. Verse 13. It is not enough that you have brought us up out of this Dathan and Abram.
Is it not enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to have us die in the wilderness, but you also lord it over us?
They're still sticking with their story. I'm not going to show up and say this in person, but I'll sure write it on social media. I'll send it to you the text message. I'll put the phone call.
Indeed, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, nor have you given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards.
Faithlessness on our part and crying about how we're all going to die and our children too.
Would you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up.
There we have it. You're not going to go.
Don't count on those who recruit you to stand up and defend their cause. You can happily stay in the background. Want you to. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. It says, but they will not make further progress. What can we possibly do to make sure that such people as Jannes and Jambres and the Korahs and these kind of people don't? Because folks, there have been disaffected literally from the beginning of time. We read that in Genesis. There's always going to be people who are disaffected. They're going to have a wide range of reasons why they are not happy. And many times they're very happy to tell it to you about those with whom they are not happy. That situation is going to arise. Can you imagine a scenario where someone from this congregation was withdrawn from and they may not be happy about it? Does that seem reasonable? That they might be disaffected? They're just this and this and this and this. That can happen. It really can. What about those who have been marked for various reasons? And their deeds have been exposed to the congregation. Might they be disaffected? Might they have a story to tell about the leader and something to tell to you to recruit you to dislike them as well? What about those who just leave in a huff? And despite repeated opportunities, meet with us, talk about it, let's get it out, bring your Bible. Nope. But they sure burn up the phone lines with you. Social media. It happens. So this isn't just Old Testament stuff. This is something that absolutely plays out today. So how do we respond? How do we insulate? How do we make sure we don't end up a target for whatever reason they try to recruit us? We'll start to answer that. First, let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. If we're going for an answer, clear back to the book of Proverbs. What you should understand is the whatever bit of wisdom that we're about to read is like 3,000 years old. So this is not shocking new information as to how to handle such things. But in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 17, I think I may have misspoke. Proverbs 18, 17. It says, the first to plead his case seems right. And so when the phone first rings, they say, hey, I want to talk to you. And they start in on it. Oh, wow. Nice. That sounds terrible. There's so much of it that's just, right, you're in the moment. And maybe you like this person. Maybe they've meant something to you. You've got a connection, and they seem good-hearted, and they're all these kinds of things. There, I don't know about Abram and this guy. I mean, they may have been very popular people. And so when they came telling a tale about Moses, I never thought about Moses like that. The first to plead his case. Seems right.
Finish verse 17. Until another comes and examines him. Two principles contained here. The first part of that is, hear the whole account. There's a first to plead the case. There needs to be a second. You need to hear the whole story. Is that fair? Does that make sense? Hear the whole story. What's the rest of it? We oftentimes say there's two sides to every story. You need to hear the whole account. And the second thing is this, where trust me, take my word for it, no. Especially if you're bringing an accusation against the spiritual person, this leader, this God-given person. No, we're not just going to take your word for it. That says, until another comes and examines him. This story has to be open to examination. Okay, let's get out the book, chapter, and verse to see what's right and wrong, and let's see what's been done. And let's just lay it all out here for open examination. This will head off a lot of the secret whisper in the background, no one knows, covert stuff, when we simply open it up for examination. The second thing that I believe that insulates us against this sort of thing is found over in 3 John. 3 John, verses 9 and 10. I wrote something to the church by Diotrephes, who loves me first among men. And you already know what I'm going to say about this. Does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either, and he forbids those who desire to do so, and puts them out of the church. Of course, because they're a threat to him. So principle number 2 is consider the source. Consider the source. Here's the message. Here's why they're bad. Here's why you ought to join me in letting everyone know that they're bad and maybe trying to get rid of them. Maybe I should be in charge. Consider the source. Disaffected ones that want to be first. Who wants to remove, to insert themselves. There should be something. And if we go back to Numbers, the 16th chapter, and verse 4. At the suggestion, now follow this, at the suggestion that he, Moses, was exalting himself above the people, how did he react? Moses fell on his face. Fell on his face. Now, if you fall and pray to the message of the disaffected one, what they have to say about the leader, and why you ought to join. And so, here it all comes, it comes to a head, and the message is, he wants to be a dictator, he wants to exalt himself over all of us, the charge is made, and the person who supposedly exalts himself over them falls on his face and humbles himself. Does it track? Is it true? If you're a part of the 250, in that moment, what might occur to you? I think I've been lying to you. How am I going to draw it? Something's a mess here. And then the next day, when the person that ginned up the support doesn't even show up, they're happy to let you show up, but they're not there. This is a good time to repent. I was wrong in supporting this. There's something there, out of sorts. So does it fit? The third thing that insulates us against this is found over in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. This one is actually specific towards elders. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three target and this message has been coming to you, a quick question should be, who else has seen the same degree? Who else? No, I mean, obviously this has got to be widespread, so who are the other couple here that are aware of this and can verify this?
On the basis of two or three.
My encouragement always to you is this. Be very slow to accept such accusations by disaffected ones, particularly when disaffected ones have a reputation of their own, particularly then. But in any case, be very cautious in doing that. Do look to your own self. What's the end goal here? This person has a call and asks me for advice. They have a call to ask me, am I way off base? They haven't called me and asked me to pray for them. What they've asked me to do is to join them with them. Go support the cause over here. It's a suspect. Right. Bring it out into the light. The more you keep it secret and back room and private and all that, it just allows this stuff to fester and grow and get out of control. Matthew 18 couldn't be any clearer about what our role in this. If you have all of a brother, you go to your brother. We talked about that. If you don't get anywhere with your brother, you take two or three with you. And if you still can't get the brother, when you have two or three, we all agree, we have book, chapter, verse, we see it, or witnesses to it. Then we take it to the church. These other methodologies are simply do not meet with God's approval. Sorrowfully, the disaffected are out there, and they do seek to separate you. They've alienated themselves and are trying to alienate you as well. Jude, verse 10, 11, 12, and 13. But these men revile the things that they do not understand. This is a hallmark, a lack of understanding, probably because we won't talk, we won't ask questions, we don't get out of our lives. There's a lack of understanding. Verse 12, these men who are hidden reefs in your love feast, when they feast with you without fear. No, they've got an agenda, they're trying to bring you over to it. They have targeted you to bring you into it. They feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting out their own shame like foam, wandering stars, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. So my simple encouragement to you is, be very, very careful around those who are disaffected. There is an agenda. Your part. This morning lesson is yours.